Morning. Couple announcements this morning. Men's Bible study at Tom's Wednesday, 7:30. Friday Bible study here at the church, 7 o'clock. Saturday we have the annual meeting at 1 o'clock. Next Sunday, the Sunday school and adult Bible study is at 10 a.m. and the worship service is at 11. Are there any other announcements? A thank you note in the back from Naomi. Any other announcements? Any prayer requests? Carter will read the psalm this morning. Neil will say the prayer, and Tom will bring us the message. And after sermon, Holy Communion will be served. And we'll start.
Psalm reading today is Psalm 36. The transgression of the wicked saith within my heart, that there is no fear of God before his eyes. For he flattereth himself in his own eyes, until his iniquity be found to be hateful. The words of his mouth are iniquity and deceit. He hath left off to be wise and to do good. He deviseth mischief upon his bed. He setteth himself in the way that is not good. He abhorreth no evil. Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reaches unto the clouds. Thy righteousness is like the great mountains, thy judgment are a great deep. O Lord, thou preservest man and beast. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. For with thee is the fountain of life. In thy light we shall see light. In thy light we shall see light. O continue thou loving loving kindness unto them that know thee, and thou righteousness to the upright in heart. Let not the foot of pride come against me, and let not the hand of the wicked remove me. There are workers of iniquity fallen, they are cast down, and shall not be able to arise.
Thank you. Can you join in a moment of prayer this morning? Heavenly Father, we thank you today for the blessing of being able to gather together under one roof in freedom. Lord, we thank you for the group of believers that we have here today, the bonds that we have, and we can pray that over the coming year, Lord, you would strengthen those and you would use your Holy Spirit to wash over us and give us that unity that is in you, Lord, spiritually speaking. Lord, we ask that you would be with those who are sick or in need health-wise or whatever those needs may be. We pray that you would be with Vaughn and Em and their little Sadie here this week as they're going through some, I guess, complications or what have you. And pray that you would be with them, give the doctors knowledge and understanding and the hands that are able to do what needs to be done and strength and comfort for the family as they deal and make decisions that may not be comfortable. But we also thank you for Auntie Joan and the surgery that appears to have gone semi-well. We pray that there would be continued healing there, Lord, through the coming days and weeks. Lord, we also pray for Tom this morning that you would give him the words and understanding of the text he has had as it's a bit on the spot, Lord, and we just ask that you would be with him and give us the ears to hear the words that need to be heard, Lord. And let us join together in that prayer that you've given us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory.
May the grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord, his Son, Jesus Christ, be granted to you this hour of worship through that indwelling Holy Spirit. Amen. If we can take our Bibles and go to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 22. And we'll read from 1 to 14 in Jesus' name. This is a familiar parable. And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables and said, The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son. And sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again he sent forth other servants, saying, Tell them which are bidden, Behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen, my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it, and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth. And he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. Then saith he to his servants, The wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, Bind him hand and foot, take him away, and cast him into utter darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. Sanctify these words, Father, for thy word is truth. So we have here the parable of the marriage of a king's son. So it's basically the example of God the Father and the bride. We'll look at that very briefly in Corinthians 11, 2 to 4, 2 Corinthians 11, 2 to 4. Because that's not the whole context of this, what is going on here. For I am, and this is 11, 2 to 4 of 2 Corinthians, For I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you chaste, a chaste virgin to Christ. Paul is speaking to the Corinthians saying, God is preparing a bride for Christ. And says, But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through the subtlety, so their hands should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye have received another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. So Paul was concerned about being influenced by other things, other gospels, and being influenced by what takes up your treasure in your heart. So we have here the kingdom of heaven in the parable that's in Matthew. It says, And Jesus answered and spake unto them again in parables and said, The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son. Now this isn't a marriage like today. It's different. And why do I say that? Because in the Old Testament times, today we you might say it's January, and my daughter's getting married in July or whatever. So you send the invitations out, you prepare, you get everything ready. You're kind of 6 months ahead of time. At these times, it was more so that a father would have a daughter and another father would have a son, and they would prearrange the wedding. So what would happen is the daughter's father would arrange it so that the daughter got married to a son. And then there would be money given to the parents, and that's how it would work. So the actual administration of the paperwork would be done ahead of time. So the role of the daughter who's getting married, the bride, would stay at home and live with their parents. The son's role was to build a house for the couple. That could take months, years. So this was the process in those days. But when the son was ready, he would go to the house of the bride and say, the wedding is ready. There wouldn't be 6 months notice or any of that. It would be, okay, wedding's ready. So we're having the ready, we're doing it. It's going to be this week. And they went from 3 to 7 days, they had weddings. So there was no notice here. Not to excuse what's being said here, because it is important that we recognize one of the main verses is the fifth verse, where it says, but they made light of it and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the fact that they made light of it tells you something. So if you put the picture in today's day, say if that's the way it was, you have a wedding next week, right? Say Craig and Christine are getting married next week. They haven't been married. Just put that example, okay? It's next week, it's on Saturday. I'm pretty sure all you guys would show up. They made light of it. There's a reason why they made light of it. They weren't interested, and there's evidence in this text and in another text in Luke where their mindset was not correct or not right. So he sent his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. And sent his servants again, saying, tell them which were bidden. Behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen, everything's ready to go. They made light of it. Who is Jesus speaking to here? The 23rd verse of 21, it says, and when he was come into the temple, the chief priests and elders of the people came unto him and was teaching and said, by what authority doest thou? They're challenging Jesus here, right? Who gave this authority? And then he refers to them, the baptism of John, which he answers the question. And Jesus answered and said unto them, I also will give you one thing, which if you tell me. So he's asking Jesus, what authority do you speak these words, these things? And Jesus answered and said unto them, I also will ask you one thing, which if you tell me, I likewise will tell you what authority I do these things. And he says, the baptism of John, whence was it? From heaven or from men? And they reasoned with themselves. They're saying, well, if we answer it, it's from men. If we shall say from heaven, he will say, why did you not believe then? But if we say of men, we fear the people, for all hold the fact that John was a prophet. And Jesus answered, we can, and they answered Jesus and said, we cannot tell. And he said unto them, neither will I tell thee of what authority I do these things. And then he gives them the prodigal son story. He says, a certain man had two sons, came the first and said to the son, go work today in my vineyard. And he answered and said, I will not. But afterwards he repented and went. So then the second son, he says, he came to the second and said, he answered and said, I go, sir. And he didn't go. He didn't help. So he's talking to these chief priests and elders, and he's kind of pointing out their faults, and he's saying, whether of them twain did the will of his father? And they said unto him, well, the first. Jesus said unto them, and this is where he really rebukes them. He says, verily I say unto you that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. Why do you say this? Because they're the ones that would actually listen to John the Baptist. They were the ones that repented. So, and he's saying, for John came unto you in the way of the righteousness, and ye believed him not. But the publicans and the harlots believed him, And ye, when ye had said it, repented not afterwards that ye might believe him. So he's kind of slowly telling them that you need to repent. So the, and they're questioning his authority. He doesn't answer their question. He just kind of puts them on the spot. They're feeling a little bit not embarrassed, but they're getting more and more angry. And then the parable of the wicked husbandman basically goes into that. And if you look at these, it's he's setting up the scene here, the parable of the marriage and the king's son. So we have a marriage and people that are invited to this marriage, but they make light of it. If you look at the comparable text in Luke to this text, which is Luke 14, there's two things that are happening here that gives us a little bit more information. Can find it. Jesus attends a banquet. It's verse 7. This is not the comparable text. The comparable text is 15 to 24, but this is the mindset of basically some of the people that were here. And he put forth, this is the seventh verse, and he put forth a parable to those who were bidden, when he marked how they chose out of the chief rooms, saying unto them, when thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down to the highest room, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him. And he that bade thee to, and him come to say to thee, give this man place, and thou begin to shame to take the lower room. But when thou art bidden, go and sit down to the lowest rooms. And so basically he's telling them, when you're invited to a wedding, go to the lowest rooms. And if you're of somebody of importance, they'll bring you up. These people in Matthew 22, they felt that they're going to go to a wedding where they're noticed. And it's kind of what it's saying here. And that in the parable of the heaven's banquet, which is 15, is basically the same thing that we're reading in Matthew 22. It says, and when one of them sat at meat and with him and heard these things, he said unto them, blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. And then it says here, it says, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king. It's referring to the same sort of incident. Then he said unto them, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, and he sent a servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The verse said to him, I've bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it, and I pray thee to be excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray to be excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to the servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring hither the poor, the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come, restrain them to come, influence them to come, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper, the original people that didn't show up. So this is kind of saying the same thing. So we're looking at this text in the same way, or I'm looking at this text in the same way. So we have, again, sent forth other servants. This is the fourth verse of 22, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen, my fatlings, and killed, and all things are ready. Come to the marriage. But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth. Well, the example is this. God has given us the word, the gospel message. right? He's given us the gospel message. Jesus came to take away your sin. The sins that you've committed from the time you were born till the time you die lay on Calvary's cross. Do you see that you're taking of the bread of life? He is your life. And you're saying, I've got something else more important. I need to take care of this, that. I'm not going to worry about that. You're not being influenced by the word of God. You're not being influenced by God's influence. You're being influenced by where your treasure is, there is your heart also. The things of the world, the battles of life. God's saying we do not war against principalities and powers. We don't war against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers. What's he saying there? He's saying the battle is within. We have a battle within. And the battle within is very simple. It's a battle that says, do I love God? And why do I love God? Because he loved me first. And why did he love me first? Because he's preparing a wedding. And I'm the bride. So if we are being influenced by other things, the world, if something else is more important than actually being part of the bride, then the influences of the world, the flesh, and the devil will steer you away in a way that can damage that relationship. So we have here the father, the king, who's making a marriage for his son. Nobody's interested in going. The Jewish nation weren't interested in following the rules of God, the law. Nobody could follow the law, but they weren't even interested in him. They were creating idols in their own heart, and they were creating idols that they built. So they were being influenced that way. So that's why they made light of it, because they were higher than themselves. This is not an important wedding. I'm not going to be involved in it. I'm not interested in it. And so the king heard thereof, and he's wroth, and he sent forth his armies and destroyed the murderers that burned up their city. Then saith the servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Why were they not worthy? They weren't interested in the first place. They didn't want to go. They had other things to do that weren't important. That were more important to them than going to this wedding. Give ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye'll find, bid to the marriage. Go get some people, let's fill the marriage up. So the servants went out into the highways and gathered together as many as they found, bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. The Gentile race was now introduced into this. The spiritual seed of Abraham is now being emphasized, meaning anybody that is of the spiritual seed of Abraham that believes in what God is doing through his son is part of that spiritual seed. So they're furnished with guests, and when the king came to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not a wedding garment. What is the wedding garment? It's white. It's pure, it's holy, it's blameless. The bride has to be white, pure, holy, and blameless. God the Father is presenting, again, the bride to his son in eternity future. A pure, holy and blameless bride. He wasn't wearing the white garment. Why? He wasn't interested in the gospel. He wasn't interested. He was maybe going there, I can speculate, in the fact that, well, I just want to see what it's about. But he was wearing his own outfit. He refused to wear the garment that was offered at the door, which is the robe of righteousness, which is that God is going to present you blameless to his son. He's refusing that. And then it's interesting how the king says, and he saith unto him, friend. I think he said the same thing to Judas. How camest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. He had nothing to say. Then said the king to his servants, bind him and hand and foot and take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called and few are chosen. The one with the wedding garment on, the white, is because God has cleaned you up. God has made you pure, holy, and blameless, so you are able to marry the bridegroom, Jesus Christ, in eternity future. This person was ashamed of the bread and blood of Christ, so he didn't put that on. He was ashamed of the bridegroom, so he was cast out into outer darkness. What does Paul say? I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. So it's the power of work unto salvation, the power of God unto salvation. How are you not ashamed? What causes you to be not ashamed? It's the power of that Holy Spirit that indwells the believer that says you are guilty. You do not deserve heaven. But your elder brother died for you. He put your sins there on the cross of Calvary. He shed every drop of blood so that you may enter and you may be able to be presented to God the Father and presented to his Son as the bride. The Christian understands they are not worthy of being the bride. They understand that the bridegroom is deserving of what is worthy. And the only way that can happen is God the Father cleans us up. And it's through the work of the cross, through what Jesus did and is doing. So when we say we die daily, do we get up and just wake up one morning and say, well, I'm not going to do my will today because I'm strong in the Lord? No. We die daily because we wake up knowing we don't deserve heaven. And by the grace of God, we breathe today. He's giving us another day so that we can be ambassadors for him. We can preach the good news to other people who do not believe, who are not secure in the faith, who do not understand. What do they do understand? They understand this. I can pull up my own bootstraps and do my own thing. I'll take care of myself. I'm in need of nothing. I have everything I need. And this is the type of attitude that these people had. They made light of it. Yeah, I heard about Jesus once, but yeah, I'm busy doing my stuff. I got work to do and I've got things to do. I've heard about that. Seems like a good guy. The Christian is influenced by the Holy Spirit in such a way that they are granted repentance, in such a way that they are changed and molded and becoming more and more like Jesus every day through sanctification. The Christian yearns for the day that his Savior will come again so that he will be in glory with his Savior and sin will be removed totally in heaven. The Christian yearns for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords to go to that wedding banquet and be presented as the bride. The Christian yearns for Christ because they have the Holy Spirit. I read a thing the other day and it said, I can't remember now. It's the Holy Spirit. Basically, the conversation or the note was the Holy Spirit is, or God is basically yearning to get to know you. Yearning so that you will come to him. It's the opposite. God draws you through his grace. God draws you through his love. you're drawn to Christ. And when you're His, you recognize that you are His and no one else's. And you are pure, chaste bride for Him. There's no one else. You recognize that He has captured you, apprehended you, and brought you into the sheepfold, where you can go in and out and find green pasture. Why? Because the pasture is totally green because He is with you. Not only allowing you to feed on the bread of life, but He's allowing you to drink of the waters of the Word. It's His love that draws. He pursues us in such a manner that is so entreating to us, because we don't understand, because we are guilty. And He is so loving, He overcomes that. And the Bible verse that's so important to us as Christians, or to me, is, if your heart condemn you, God is greater than your heart. There is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There's conviction, there's rebuke, but there's not condemnation. So we have a God that saves, a King that has invited us to a banquet. And we don't make light of it, because we really shouldn't be invited. But because He loves us, He invited us. This text is so rich. And it's so pure. That you have a King, or the Father, preparing a banquet for us in heaven, where everything is prepared. Everything is right. It will be presented to the bridegroom, Jesus Christ, in eternity future. And we will have the wedding garment, the robe of righteousness on, because God the Father will make sure of it. Through His sovereignty, through His grace, through His mercy, and through what He does when He calls, He's the author and finisher of our faith. He will finish it. And He called it before the foundation of the world. Let's continue with the next verse, the next hymn, and then have communion.
Thank you.
Shall we together say the Apostles' Creed together? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. Third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray for them, with them, and for them who will now partake of the Lord's Holy Supper. Lord Jesus Christ, thou bread of life, grant that thy holy communion may be a blessing to all those who today shall partake of it, that through the power of thy blood, the body and blood, that they may receive peace and comfort to their souls and be strengthened in faith, love, and a lively hope of eternal life. Amen. Truly it is meet, right, and blessed that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on the same night in which he was betrayed took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which is and which was and which is to come. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Let us pray as our Lord Jesus Christ taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. So you can all come up and take of the wine and the wafer, and the ones that want to go around the altar, we can serve it to you there also. And we'll start from the back and come to the front. take, eat the body of the Lord Jesus Christ broken for you. The blood of our Lord Jesus Christ shed for you. May the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ preserve your bodies and souls unto eternal life. Amen. Praise the Lord for his gracious gift of which you have partaken, and proclaim his suffering, death, and resurrection until he cometh again. Arise and depart in the peace of the Lord. Let us give thanks and pray. O Lord, Almighty God, thou who has allowed us to partake of thy holy supper, we thank thee for thy grace and pray. Grant that we also, with all thy chosen saints, may share thy eternal honor and glory through thy Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost in one Godhead from everlasting to everlasting. Amen. May the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let's close with 794 and the doxology 670.